That's about discussing various aspects of shtaros and how it relates to our Gemara, the Machlokes, regarding the Mafehu Nifsal and the Kanala Habahu Nifsal. We began by mentioning the kasha that the Rishonim raised, that how is it that one would allow a shtar at all? After all, the Gemara Nivamos and Daf Lamed Aleph and the Gemara Gittin Daf Ayin Aleph is Doresh that Mipihem Velo Mipiksovam, that Eidos has to be transmitted by Peh. You cannot have Eidos Bichsav. So isn't that exactly what a shtar is? That the Eidim are made and don't do so Bifnei Besdin, but rather their Eidos is transmitted Bichsav. So the Rambam comments in Perek Gimel Hilchos Eidos al Chadala that Eino Chinami, at times will be forced to assume that a shtar is only admissible, midrabanon. And therefore the Rambam writes, when it comes to a shtar, specifically in areas of Dini Mamonos, at times we assume that that is only midivrei sofen. And the Ramban comments that how in the world is that possible to argue the institution of shtar is only drabanon? Certainly that's true. The Torah acknowledges a get or a shtar kedushin, a shtar shichror. That certainly is a din daraisa. That is not merely that which was instituted by the Chachamim. Of course, the Rambam himself will clearly distinguish when the Rambam writes in Perek Gimel Eidos that this is midivrei sofen. The Rambam does not mention examples such as a shtar kinin of iser v'heter. The Rambam writes that this is true of various forms of shtarei mamam. And this is what the Nesivos comments in Simon Chavches and Sikot and Zion, the difference between a shtar kinin as opposed to cases of a shtar raya. Number one, a shtar kinin certainly is considered to be that which is daraisa. The only issue one could raise is what about when it comes to a shtar raya, where the chalos is not dependent in any shape or form on the shtar. Let's assume, for example, in a chasana, right, the chasan obligates himself in the ksuva. That obligation is binding for two reasons. Number one, the Gemara tells us it's tznai bezdin, that the chasan must do so. Number two is the kinyan sudar is made, and that creates the shibud, that creates the hiskaivus. When the ksuva then is drawn up, in such a case, that is not a shtar kinyan, that does not make or break in any shape or form, that simply is a shtar raya. When the ish will hold on to a ksuva, so that will serve as a raya that there was the hischaibus, and b, that the hischaibus is current. The husband simply cannot claim that it's true, I obligated myself, but for example, I already paid you. The purpose then of that shtar is to function and to serve as a shtar Ryan. The Nesivos comments as follows. The shtar kinyan, that's not the following. Gittin, kedushin, certainly is a din daraisa. The only issue is when you have a shtar raya, isn't that similar to the eidim who were present at the time of the kinyan will go and they will testify b'nei bezin that in fact this kinyan was made. So therefore that, according to the Rambam, is more similar to eidos b'sav, and that is what the Rambam writes that midivrei sofrim choskin din mamonos be'eidos shebishtar. In terms of the definition of shtar and how it differs from normal case of Eidos, this will be critical for our sugya as well, but Tosus writes in Ksuvus, Tosus begins in Chofam and Aleph and extends to Chofam Reis, and this is what the Balamor writes in the sugya in Yevamos and Daftesam and Aleph and Dafne Harif, that shiny shtar shenechtav midas hamischayim. That's the key phrase that Tosus and the Balamor use. What is so unique about a shtar as opposed to a case of Eidos? That a shtar is created as a result of Das HaMitzchayim. What does that mean? Let's assume, for example, the husband will obligate himself. The husband will create the Kedushin. So therefore, that sense of Das HaMitzchayim, that the individual has taken upon himself an obligation, that is concretized by the existence of a shtar. And that is something that, in fact, is necessary. That is not true of normal Eidos. Eidos, for example, does not reflect a willingness, a das hamischayim. If a person does something, a person is mechalel Shabbos, a person sees something, and Eidim will come to Bezdin and they will affirm that this person committed an act of geneva. But certainly there wasn't any das machna, there wasn't any das hamischayim that was present at that particular time. So therefore, Tosus and the Balamor write that the essence of shtar is reflected in Das HaMitzchayim. In Tosus and Ksuvus and Avchav and Beis goes a step further, that maybe one could argue this is even true when it comes to a shtar halva, which is a shtar raya. Even if, for example, the matan mos, that is what creates the halva. Why is it that the loaf is obligated to pay back? Very simply, because the loaf had obligated himself. There was Das HaMitzchayim, Yischavus Midas. But still, maybe one could argue that that shtar raya also has an element of Das HaMitzchayim. In what sense is that true? Because there certainly is a difference between a Milvah Balpeh as opposed to a Milvah B'Shtar. If, for example, there is a Shtar which is current in the time of the Halvah, in such a case that allows for two things. Number one, that allows for Gvim and HaNechasim. Not only a Shibud HaGuf, but a Shibud Nechasim as well. That may only be a Din Rabbanan. But bottom line is, we assume that if there is a Milvah B'Shtar, in such a case the Gviya is not only Minei from the Love, but you can exercise a Shibud Nechasim as well. And even furthermore, the biggest distinction between a Milvah Balpeh and a Milvah B'Shtar is what happens if the Love denies. I go and I lend the Love money, and he turns around and says, Lo hayit from me olam. Or he turns around and says, of course I borrowed the money from you, but you know what? I paid you back a month ago. Parati. In a milva alpeh, so in such a case, hamotzi mechala paraya. I would have to prove that that loan is current. If it's a milva bishtar, then I have the right to say that, what do you mean you already paid back? Shtar chaviyadi mavoi. The malva can turn and say, well, if you paid me back, why is it that I am still holding on to the shtar? Normally, when a loba pays back, of course, the paperwork is taken from the malva. So therefore, the tfisas bal hashtar, that serves as a raya that not only that there was a loan, but the tfisas bal hashtar can serve as an indicator that there is a loan, that the loan is considered to be current. So maybe one could argue as follows, that even when it comes to, let's say, a shtar raya also perhaps has an element of das hamitzchayim. Because when the lova realizes that this halva was generated al yedei shtar, even though it's true, the shtar did not create the chiyu, the matamos created the chiyu, but the existence of the shtar enhances the koach hamalva, it limits the koach halova, and perhaps that also is considered to be al pidin, that which we call das hamitzchayim. When I go ahead and I borrow money from you, and I realize that there is a shtar which is drafted, I know that, number one, there will be a gviya from Nechasim Mishubadim, and number two, that I will not be believed to say Parati, Elohayat Ramiola. Maybe that also is an element of Das HaMitzchayim. That's what Tosfos discusses in Ksuvas and Dachav. The Shibud HaGuf is not dependent on Shtar, but the fact that it's enhanced Ayyadei Shtar, maybe that also has an element that one could argue that that is similar to a Shtar Kinyan, in the sense that there is a Das HaMitzchayim that exists even at that time. So we mentioned very briefly that these two different types of shtaros is something which is critical. When it comes to a shtar raya, poshav shad, then certainly we assume that the shtar must serve as a raya. If the shtar does not serve as a raya, how can it function as a shtar raya? So therefore, lechor, everyone agree, even the view of Rabbi Meir, right, who argues that edei chasima karsi, that it is rooted in a shtar raya. A shtar raya requires edei chasima. How is it a raya at all if there are no chasimos? That certainly is true. The Machlokas, Rabbi Lozen, Rabbi Meir, and the very beginning of Gittin, Daf Gimel Abayis, Daf Dalam Aleph, is the question to what extent this could apply even to a shtar kinyan. Perhaps one could argue that shtar kinyan is a different world entirely. A shtar raya, obviously, it's only a raya ladavar, right, if they're chasimos. A shtar kinyan is completely different. A shtar kinyan does not have to serve as a raya, and therefore, perhaps no chasim is necessary at all. And that is exactly the shita of Rabbi Loza. Tosfos points out in Gittin Daf Dalit that even like Rabbi Loza, that any mesira karsi, you know, it's still to the advantage of the woman to have the get signed. Because even though she is a grusha, she will have a difficult time proving that she's a grusha if her get does not contain any chasimos. Aliba Demis, she's a grusha. She was mekabel her get. However, if someone will question that, what is she going to show? She's going to show an unsigned document. That cannot serve as a shtar raya. So therefore, Tosfos writes that since during a period in history, we would allow the get to be used not only as the shtar kinyan, but also as a shtar raya, so therefore, Tosfos writes it's appropriate that you should have edei chasima even according to Rabbi Lazar. This man has said, we don't do this. We don't want the get being shown as a shtaraya, therefore we have something which is different, we have that which is called a ptur. Bezdin will draft a separate document that the woman will furnish as a shtaraya to indicate that she is a grusha. We don't want the get to go. People will look at it and say, oh, you know, I see that the lines that are blurred. Maybe that didn't wear away with age. Maybe it was blurred at the time of the gerushin, and the get is a get possible, and she remarried, the children are mamzerim. So therefore, Tosfos comments, we don't allow the get to be used as a shtaraya. Right, we don't have emotzi laws, if anything should happen with the get, therefore we put the get away, and we give the woman a separate shtar. But mikar hadin, the shtar had a twofold purpose. It created the gerushin, it was also used as a shtaraya. So Tosfos says, well, that's true, make sure to have eri chasimah, because it's not going to be a raya without it. So Paul Shapshat, Rabbi Meir assumes what is true of a shtaraya is true of a shtar kinyan. Rabbi Lozer maintains that these are very different. One is eri chasimah, one is eri mesira. Rabbi Soloveitchik could often comment that that is not incidental. Rabbi Meir's shita apparently is the following, that every shtar has to begin as a shtaraya. And that is the kinyan. When I furnish you with undisputable evidence, that itself is the kinyan. That's not just simply a raya ladavar, but that is considered to be the kinyan. When a husband will give a shtar kedushin to a woman, that is an indicator that she is married, that creates the kedushin. When the get is given, that will be a raya mulchachas, an indicator that she is a grusha, that is the tool, that is the vehicle of the gerushin itself. But Rabbi Meir assumes that that is true, so just as eri chasimah is so obviously necessary when it comes to a shtar raya, the same thing is true when it comes to a case of a shtar kinyan. And Rabbi Loza maintains that certainly is not the case. When you deal with the shtar kinyan, right, the fact that a raya is furnished, is necessary, that is completely secondary. How you will prove that case. But the Torah tells us that very simply, that at the time of the Maisa Kedushin, the Maisa Gerushin, as long as the Maisa Nesin is witnessed, that is considered to be sufficient, even if you don't have any chasimos whatsoever. So Tosfos writes the following Chiddush, Tosfos and Kedushin Daf Tes, that we mentioned very briefly, is bothered by Yestiras HaSugyos, whether one can go ahead and write a Shtar on Cheres. What is the problem with Cheres? Because Cheres you can just simply scratch away. It'll be very hard to tell whether originally it was one way and now it is a different way. So Tosfos says, a Yestiras. Sometimes it appears that yes, that is fine, and sometimes we assume that it is not good. When the Gemara gives an example, Kedushin Daf Tes, of a Shtar Kedushin, the Gemara says, Kostav al Haniyar, Wal HaCheres. So you can write the Shtar Kedushin on Cheres. How is that possible? So Tosfos writes the Kiddush, that depends on Eri Chasima versus Eri Mesira. If you hold like Rabbi Meir's Shita that Eri Chasima, then Cheres obviously is no good. Because if it must begin as a Shtar Raya, you have no Raya on a Dover Shiyachal that he's dying. There's no Raya whatsoever. If you hold Eri Mesira, Karsi Raya is irrelevant. It creates a practical problem. That if a woman is going to prove that she is divorced by presenting this get that was written on Cheres, so Bezdin can question, no, how do we know that that's authentic? We see that it's full of areas that are wiped out, that are scratched out, and therefore, how can we be assured that there was a legitimate Maisa Gerushin? But in principle, of course, the Gerushin effect occurs. And then Tosfos writes the following for the Chiddush, that's in Gittin of Chavdalit, that a shtar, if you hold any chasima karsi, like Rav Meir, requires muchach mitotho. The shtar has to speak for itself. And therefore, everything must be exactly delineated in the shtar itself. That is not true if you hold that Edei Mesira karsi. After all, if you can rely on the Edei Mesira, that is considered to be sufficient. And that is the Machlokas Rishonim. That Chiddush that Tosfos writes in Gittin Daf Chaf Dalet, that Muchach Mitoko is necessary according to Rabbi Meir, that maintains Eri Chasima Karsi, that's against the view of the Ran, against the view of the Ramban in Gittin Daf Chaf Dalet. Because the Ran, the Ramban, and that Sugya maintain that no. Even if you assume that Eri Chasima Karsi, in such a case one could argue that Muchach Mitoko is not necessary. Why is that true? Because the Ramban and the Ran write the following Chiddush, and that is that the Tfisas Baal Hashtar can also serve as a Raya. What does that mean? Let's assume, for example, you have a Shtar, and it literally says that I, and it mentions my name, owe you. It doesn't mention your name, it just says you, I owe you. Obviously, that is not Muchach Mitoko, you, for you, you could be anyone. Yeah, but there is an important detail, and that is that you are machzik the shtar. You're holding on to this document. So the Ramban and the Ran write the following Chiddush, that if that is the case, that is sufficient. That is sufficient. As long as it says that ploni lava mimcha, that is sufficient, because who is the mimcha? Well, if you're holding on to the shtar, we have a right to put the two and two together and argue that the mincha is you who are the malvin. Tosus disagrees. Tosus writes that Dei Chasima Karsei, you require absolute muchach mitocho, no ambiguity. The Ran and the Ramban write, no, in principle that's true, that it is necessary that this serve as a raya, but sometimes other circumstances can contribute to the muchach mitocho. We don't assume it's a coincidence that really the mouth is someone else, and you happen to be hold on to the shtar. That is considered to be that which is sufficient. Tosus writes a further chiddush, this I didn't mention last time, this is on the Ksuvas and Dav, Sari Dalet Amud Aleph, where Tosus writes, what happens if you have Shtei Shtaros Hayotzim Biyom Echad? What happens if all of a sudden the person owes a fortune of money, and let's assume two individuals come to Beis Din with a shtar, demonstrating that this person owes them, and we look and we see that they have the exact same date. So therefore, what do we do? Is there any way that we can determine that this one came first, this one came later? Who has the first shibud in order to be able to be gove from that individual's nechasim? So Tosus comments that that should be dependent, the chiddush on Eri Chasima and Eri Mesira. Tosus writes, if you hold like Rabbi Meir, that Eri Chasima karsi, Tosus says, Yachloku in that case, it would split. It's as though literally that you have two shtaros, they're yotzin b'mas achas. If you hold like Rabbi Meir, then we have a real problem. We really can't tell which one came first, and therefore Tosus says we'll invoke what we call shuda d'dayna. Shuda d'dayna means that a dayan has to use his own discretion, his own judgment. There really is no objective way to determine, and therefore the dayan can use a certain intuition, or a dayan can look for an indicator of miktas raya in order to kind of demonstrate which one he feels came first or which one he feels came second, barring a raya muchach asavedin. So why exactly is that true? If you have two shtaros, a yotzim yom echad, why in the world should that depend on Rav Meir versus Rav Elazar, a chasima karsi and a mesira karsi? So Soloveitchik explained the following chiddush, and that is that if you assume a chasima karsi, so therefore we require Tosus maintained in Gittin Dav Chav Dalet Muchach Mitocho. Muchach Mitocho. The shtar must speak for itself. Well, what's the difficulty? If you are in an area where they don't write the time of day, they don't write that this transaction occurred at 2:30, all they do in terms of the Ksivas Hazman is write the Yom, but do not write Shaos, so there really is no absolute muchach mitocho. It's not evident in the shtar itself. So where is the muchach mitocho? The explanation perhaps is the following, that the hochachas hashtar is only basof hayom. All you know is that it occurred sometime on this day, right? And very possibly the last minute of that day. And therefore, if you have two shtaros that are produced, that have the same date, so therefore it's as though that the two shtaros and the hiskaibus was the masachas. And that is why it is yachloku. It's as though that the two halvaos, or the two shibudim, right, occurred by masachas. And therefore the no psachlof would be yachloku. If it's mamish by masachas, each one's entitled to part. If you assume that Eri Mesira Karsi, so in such a case that certainly is not true, wherever there was the Mesira and the Eri Mesira, that created the first Shibud. And if one occurred at 2 in the afternoon and one occurred at 5 in the afternoon, obviously the one that occurred at 2 in the afternoon came first. We just don't know. There's no way we can determine. It was definitely Al Tidin that one was called before the other, but we can determine whether it was A or B. What happens when that is true? It's definitely one or the other, but there's no raya whether it's A or B. Then very often we will assume a shuda d'dayna, that the Zion should use his own intuition, his own judgment, his own discretion in order to see to it that maybe somehow there's a tip that this one occurred first and this one occurred second, and therefore shuda d'dayna. But if you assume that any chasima karsi, according to Tosus, it's necessary that it has muchach mitocho. The muchach mitocho of a given day is only besof hayom. We know it happened by then, it didn't happen the next day. That al kedin is considered to be as though two different shibudim were chal b'vasachas, and that's when one would assume yachlok. The difference now between Eidus B'Shtar as opposed to Epish Valpez, which is most relevant for our sugya, is as of when do we assume that the Eidus is Chal? Whenever it comes to Eidus B'Bezdin. So it's clear that always is Nikfa B'Shas Haggadah. But the Gemara tells us that certainly is not true when it comes to a Shtar. The time that the Shtar comes to Bezdin, really, is irrelevant. That simply is just techetins in terms of it allows Bezdin to glean the information from the shtar itself. But certainly the shibud hiskaivus was one that existed earlier. And therefore the Gemara Baba Basra of Kufnun Tes writes, if there's a psul or kurva, nimtzechar karov apostle, that is not determined by the time that that shtar will enter Bezdin, but that is determined at the time that the shtar is created, at the time that the shtar is in existence. And therefore, if nifslu achakach, either they became a rasha, they became a karov, in such a case, that shtar is still admissible. So therefore, the shtar is considered to be that which is legitimate from the Shas Haksiva. And that's what the Gemara writes in Gittin Daf Gimel, that Edom HaChasuma HaShtar is Nasa K'mishen Nechkre Yidusan BeBezdin Dami. Maybe one could have argued that it's only Nechkre Yidusan BeBezdin when it enters Bezdin. In which case, the Shtar has not attained its status as a Shtar until Bezdin will verify proper Kiyum Shtaros. The Gemara says no. The Ikar HaDin Daraisa is Edom HaChasuma HaShtar our commissionary do some abandoned of me, and therefore that is considered to be chal. And that was the chiddush that also said in Bava Kama Daf Tariches and Beis, that if Edim will see a shtar, that's comparable to Edim who will witness proceedings of Bezdin, and they could testify to that fact. That is not called Ed Miti Ed. And therefore, if you and I see that a shtar exists, if the shtar is subsequently burned, we can go to Bezdin and testify that there was a shtar that said Reuben owed Shimon $1,000. Certainly that's not true in terms of Eidus Valpeh. If Reuben lent Shimon $1,000, and you and I were not there, but we were told that fact by the Edim, we cannot go to Bezdin and say that we were told by Edim who were present at the Halva that this occurred. That is Eid Mipiei. But Tosfos points out we don't treat that is Eid Mipiei when it comes to a case of a shtar. That's because it's as though there is an edus of the shtar at that moment, and in such a case, k'mishen nefkra edusan bebezdin dami. That is considered to be the chiddush. So number one, right, the uniqueness of shtar is that the shas hagada, so to speak, of the shtar is not dependent upon bezdin, but that is considered to be that which is chal miyad. And furthermore, the edus of the shtar is not merely that we affirm that this is true, but rather we assume that the shtar is made al atzmu shehu kasher, and thereby if one denies the legitimacy of the shtar, a great chiddush that we're in Ksuvos Daf Yotes treats that as trei keneged trei, not as our Gemara, that if two Edim come and they deny the credibility of the earlier Edim, well, of course, Gazanusa, you believe the second over the first. That's not true when it comes to Shtar. There we assume that it's considered to be trei keneged trei, and Tosfos writes that's considered to be safek. That certainly is not considered to be a vada. And one further chiddush that we started to discuss, this will be very relevant for the Balamor that we'll see, and that is that a shtar is made as well on Dvarim Hanosafim. Sometimes a shtar could have a life of its own, and that is that it affirms something that occurs after the Ksivas HaShtar. That's a very great chiddush. Normally, how is that possible that there could be, right, an affirmation of that which occurs post the Ksivas HaShtar? The answer is that's part of what we alluded to earlier, the tfisas bal hashtar. In other words, if a woman is holding on to her get, even if there were no Edei Mesira, but she's holding on to this get, we have a right to assume definitively, not just chances are, definitively, as Tosfos writes in Gittin Davdala, that hakol behefsher nasen. that the get was written and the get was given, even though if you'll ask these Eidim, what would these Eidim say? They would say, we don't know that this woman is a Grusha. We don't even know that the get was given. After all, we were not the Eidim Mesira. According to Abner, you don't require Eidim Mesira. All we know is Eidim Chasima. All Eidim Chasima could verify at most is that there was Das Habal Lagari Shasishto. That's all you know. But nonetheless, that is sufficient in order to allow the woman to remarry, because Al Pidin is considered to be a Vadai, she is Garsha. How exactly is that true? So that's what Tosa says. The get affirms Hakol Behesher Naset. The same is true when it comes to Ishtar Halva. If, for example, the mouth is holding on to the Ishtar, Tfisas Balashtar. So the Lova says that I already paid. And we say that's not true. Shtar Chibet Amabai. Why does the Malva have the Shtar? Rabbi Kenegar points out, as mentioned, that is not considered simply to be a robe. That is considered to be an absolute lahalacha. Shtar Chibet Amabai means that there's Tfisas Balashtar that's made that Hakol Behef Shanase. It is all unique when it comes to Shtar, not true of any form of Eidus Belpe. So in a nutshell, when it comes to Shtar, Shtar is made, right? And a star is chal tekefumiyad b'shas ha'edus k'mishnech v'gusim abezden dami. There's no second stage of drisha v'chakir of hagada bifnei bezden. And therefore, even if subsequently they become possible, that is considered to be irrelevant. So this is true. So what would happen then in the case of hazama? This is a lengthy discussion of the rif in our sugya. We will assume as the chiddush of Abayi, and that is l'mafreyehu nifso. L'mafreyehu nifso. So what exactly does that mean? L'mafreyehu nifso, a normal case of Eidus al peh, means the following, that they're not posel mishas hazama, they're posel mishas hagada. L'mafreyehu nifso. Well, what does that mean when it comes to a shtar? If all of a sudden there is a case of hazama, so when do we assume that these Eidus become posel, like Abayi, that l'mafreyehu nifso? So the rif and up to chesm beis and up rif and asugya, quote, ikaman de mefarish, that tells us the following, that when it comes to a case of ishtar, eidim chasim al ashtar, nashik mishin nefkrei dusam abezdin dami. Exactly this chiddush. You don't require midarais any further kiyum shtaros. The shtar is already created ashvuye shtara at the shasa chasima. And therefore, l'mafreyehu nifso means mi'idna d'kachasme b'shtara. That's the chiddush that the Rif writes. At that point, l'mafreyehu nifso, not mishas hagada, from the time of the chasima itself, precisely because mishenekre idusan bibezdin. That's what the Rif writes is true, me'ikar hadin. The only problem the Rif is bothered by is the following, the sarachat l'meida, to lo kai me hazama sadi dishtara ela ada ami bebezdin bizmane kisavnuhu velo ichranuhu vekasnuhu. Rif is bothered by the following problem. So you're going to argue that it's from the time of the chasima, from the time, for example, that it says there was a halva. But the following difficulty: how do you know that that is true? If we can determine that on the day of the halva, this shtar was drafted. The difficulty, of course, here is that it's a case of hazama, where we're saying, that did not take place. So, if that's true, maybe I'll give you a very simple explanation. And that is that maybe that the shtar was drafted at a later time, in a different place, and therefore, we understand very well how to resolve that difficulty. So the Rif is bothered by the following. In principle, it's true that the Shas HaChasima should be the Koveya, the Mafreyehu Nifso. But don't we need some type of affirmation that on the day of the Halva, the Shtar was drafted? So the Rif writes the following. It's true. Ad amrei bebezdin bizmane kesavnu enachinami. That's part of the affirmation that the Eidim come forward and the Eidim state that this is what we drafted on the day of the halva, which took place in this time and this place. Good. Well, if that's true, then it's subject to hazama. However, if that is not case, So therefore, you can't demonstrate Hagzama whatsoever. Well, of course it says on this date, this is what happened. That's because, right, we drafted the shtar at a later time. But how can you say Manohizen? So this is what the Rif adds, that there has to be a representation of the Eidim that says that, and we drafted the shtar b'shas haksiva. This is what the Rashba writes in our sugya as well, that the difficulty of Hazama in a case of Ishtar is that point, Shani Omar Acharnu Bekasvu, right? Because after all, maybe they can say, you know what, we didn't write it at the proper time, we wrote it at a later time. But Elim Kein Amru, but when will you have Hazama? As the Rif writes, if we say Bishtarze Bizmano Kasvu. So therefore, the Rif and the Rashba add that there has to be some affirmation of the Eidim that everything occurred at the same time and therefore can be subject to Hazama. If you look in the Marshal and Yamshal Shlomo and Arsugiyah and Simen Chav Gimel, the Yamshal Shlomo, this is also found in the Ra'avan, also acknowledge that problem of the Rif and the Rashba, but they just argue, but it's an important detail, and maintain the following, that we don't require that the Eidim have to affirm that that is the case. We can assume that is true min hastam. If you have a shtar, and it has a given date in it, and it's signed by Eidim, so therefore, without any opposite type of affirmation, we assume that everything occurred at the same time. And therefore, the onus is on the Eidim to bekum v'asei state, acharnu v'kasvu. Not that they have to make that affirmation, but if nothing is said, we assume that that is true, and it's subject to Hazama. If in the course of the proceedings of Hazama, then the Eidim will say, realize that we didn't write it at that time, in such a case then, we don't allow for the Hazama to be carried through. If you look in the Rambam in Chosedus Perek Yutes Halacha Gimel, the Rambam also tells us the following, that let's assume the Eidim who have their chasimos in the shtar come forward and say that bizmano kisabnu, that we wrote this at the time, this is when the avot took place, this is where we were, and all of a sudden there was Hazama. So the Rambam writes the following chiddush, that there has to be some independent knowledge, independent verification that that is true. The Rambam writes, if there are Eidim Shiyodim Hayom Shechosma Lahashtar, if there are Eidim who can affirm that yes, that we know that this in fact occurred, or if there are Eidim that saw the shtar in existence, so at least there are Eidim that can demonstrate that the shtar goes back, it wasn't just written today, then we can assume Nifsalu L'mafreya. And Nifsalu L'mafreya can mean either Mishas HaChasim or Mishas Yediyah, that we can independently affirm that the shtar was in existence. But if there are no such Eidim, so therefore Eidim came and they demonstrated that the Eidim were chos and the shtar were lying. After all, these Eidim came forward and said that you say that you signed the shtar at that time and that place. It's not true. That time, Imanoisim, a different country entirely. So we know that these are Eidei Sheker. So we want to assume that they are Pasul and Afreya. You know what the problem is? When is Lanafreya? When is Lanafreya? Not from the time of the Chasima. We know that that did not occur. Maybe 5 minutes before they walked into Bezdin, that's when they drafted this document. So in such a case, then the Rambam writes, that only Nifsalu Mishashe Idu Bebezdin. After all, what right do you have to pull back at all? A shtar is presented in Bezdin, and the shtar says that a year ago, at this time, in this place, this is what we did. Good. And Eidim say that cannot be Imano Ha'isim. So in such a case, it is clear that these are Eidei Sheker. So you want to assume they're Apostle and Afreya. And Afreya is of when? As of a year ago. A year ago, nothing occurred. How do we know that they were shakranim a year ago? The most we know is they were shakranim as of now. Because maybe, as mentioned, 5 minutes before they went into Beis Din, they quickly wrote down a shtar and dated it with a year ago. So in such a case, then the Rambam writes, they're only posel me'eish she'idu be'Beis Din, because that is the time that we know that they're edei sheker. If there are edim that say the following, you know what? I don't know what happened, but I saw this shtar in existence 6 months ago, but then we can posel them from 6 months ago. But barring that, in such a case, you can only assume that they are posel me'eish she'idu be'Beis Din. So both when it comes to such a case of shtar as well as edus valpeh, they're posel mishas hagada, but for very different reasons. Edus valpeh mishas hagada, because that is the shas hagada se'elus. When it comes to edus mishtar, that's true pragmatically. In principle, the psul should be lamafreya. But we can't determine when that lamafreya is. If we could, if we were to know that the shtar existed a month ago or a year ago, we'd pass them from then, because we should never just on the Beis Din dummy. Practically speaking, if we can't verify that independently, that's what the Rambam writes, that they will be poslam yishav she'idu the Beis Din. So that's the Kiddush. In principle, the Rambam would agree with the Rif, but in practice, the Rambam writes, you're going to find difficulty proving when the sheker occurred. And therefore, you can't pull back, right? You have to assume that they're possible, right, at this very moment. There is one day that the Meiri quotes, right, the Yesh Omrim in the name of the Gaone Svara, where the Meiri writes that even when it comes to Eidos Bishtar, it is the Shas Kiyum Hashtar Bebezdin. That is the determining factor. They do not become possible Yishas HaChasima, but rather, right, at the time of the proceeding, that the time that Beis Din acts on the shtar, that is considered to be critical. In other words, according to this day in the Meiri, but clearly in the Siyachin, that Eidos Bishtar is similar to Eidos Balpeh, that is the Shas Hagada, which is considered to be relevant. And even though in principle, Kamisha Nakri Dusan the Beis Din Dami, that only comes to practice when you have a tain in Beis Din and the shtar is brought to Beis Din, in such a case they become possible from that moment on. And then the fifth shita is what you find in the Balamur. That's found in Ksuvas Nabches Mabez and Dabi Harid, where the Balamur writes a very great Kiddush with a fascinating application, the Halacha. The Balamur writes the following, that there is no possibility of Hazama when it comes to Eidishtar. Because after all, they will always have a way out by saying Icharnu B'Kazul. Okay, so that sounds like what we've been dealing with up until now. In principle, yes, but in practice, a difficulty proving when this occurred. But then the Rif at the very bottom of Chesam Abayz just adds the following line: Va'od ein hazama la'olam l'shalei mamon ela edus balpeh. That's the concluding line. Right to the Balamor. Ein hazama la'olam l'shalei mamon ela be'edus balpeh. Hazama only occurs, the Rif does add those two words, Mishali Mamon, only in Eidos Balpeh and not in Eidos Bishtar. So what exactly is the Balamor adding but that concluding phrase? The Balamor mentioned that there is a pragmatic difficulty, Acharnu V'Kazu, as we saw in the Rishonim, but then the Balamor writes, the punchline, that there is no Hazama in cases other than Eidos Balpeh. So the Ran, a little bit later, the Ran is in the very end of the second parak of Ksuvis. It's on the Sugya Dav Chavches, and it's found in Dav Yudbeis, Mabeis, and Dav Yarif, the Ravastel Tekevan. That's where the Ran quotes this earlier Balamor. And the Ran writes the following Kiddush, that even if it is explicit in the Shtar, and the Shtar says, Bizmano Kisavnuhu, the Shtar says so, this occurred on this day, and on this very day, we drafted and signed the shtar. Everything is explicit. Even then, the Ran writes, according to the Balamor, there's no hazama. There's no concern of acharnu v'kasvu. There it's explicit. It's mufurish b'shtar. But nonetheless, that's what the Balamor writes. Ein hazama ela be'edus alpeh. That's how the Ran interprets that concluding line of the Balamor. That's a world of difference between that and any of the other Rishonim. The other Rishonim maintain in principle, of course there is Hazama. And Shtar is more Chamor in the sense Hazama is an Afreya. You just have to work out how to define an Afreya. How do you prove an Afreya? So I grant you a practical difficulty. So the Rambam writes you have to have independent verification. Fine. Or maybe the only admission of Edom is good enough. The Balamor writes, no, even if you can absolutely verify, the Shtar says that this occurred, Hazama is only Edos Balpeh and not Edos B'Shtar. Period. Why is that true? So the Ran offers his explanation of the Balamor. And that is because Hazama is a Chidushu and Ein L'Chabo El Chidushu. Hazama is a Chidush. And therefore you have no right to extend the Parsha of Hazama above and beyond context. What is the context? Stam Eidus is Eidus Balpeh. The Parsha of Hazama is not talking about a Shtar. The Parsha of Hazama is discussing Eidus Balpeh. As we began in the Hakdama, that Eidus Balpeh is B'Shtar is not just simply a technical difference. How do you transmit? No, you're not allowed to transmit B'Shtar. That's me P.M. and P.K. Savam. Shtar is a different Chetzer Shel Shtar entirely. It's a different world, it's a different parsha. It's not just simply that this is Eidus, but pragmatically there are two different ways that you could transmit Eidus. A Chetzer Shel Shtar. Well, if that's true, Mehecha Teisi, that you can jump from Eidus to Shtar. Once you demonstrate that they are so different, so how do you know that all the Dini Eidus apply to Shtar? And therefore the Ran writes, since Hazam is a Chidushu, and formulated in normal Eidus, which is Eidus Alpeh, Ein L'Chabal Ela Chidushu. So number one, it's the Chidush of the Ran, that this is Pshat in the Balamor. But the Balamor means categorically, there is never Hazama when it comes to Eidus B'Shtar. Chidush number two is the following. This is all within Abaye. That's our whole issue that the Balamor is discussing. Now, Abaye holds the Mafreya Hu Nifsal. How does that translate itself to Shtar? So the Balamor maintains it doesn't. So it is a unusual biur because after all, right, Rav is the one who says that Edom Zomen is a Chidushu and Ein L'Chabal Shas Chidushu Leilech. But we point that Abaye must disagree with that because Abaye assumes Mikar L'Habon if so. What we discussed earlier, where there are a couple of possibilities within Abaye, what does he disagree with? Does he disagree with one? Does he disagree with two? Does he disagree with both? But one thing is clear, he can't agree with both Hanachos of Rava. He can't agree that A, Inam Zomen is a Chiddush, and B, Inam Chabo al Chiddusho. Then Rava is correct that Mikan la Habon if so. And yet here, Lahalacha, within the Shita of Abaye, still the Balamor maintains, according to the Ran, that there's no Hazama on Eidus B'Shtar because Edom Zomen is a Chidushu and Ein L'Chabo El Chidushu. How does this fit with Abaye? On the one hand, the Mafreya Hu Nifsal, L'Chora, either because it's not a Chidush or because we deny Ein L'Chabo El Chidushu, and yet, when it comes to Shtar, that's exactly what the Balamor maintains, that there's no Parsha to Hazama. Parsha Pshat, one has to argue and distinguish between the following. You know, when you look technically at the language of the Gemara, our Gemara adds one word. That's something which perhaps is critical, according to the Ran's Bir the Balamor. Our Gemara does not say Ein L'Chabo Ela Chidusho. Our Gemara says that Ein L'Chabo Ela Mishas Chidusho. Mishas Chidusho Ve'elach. Maybe there's a world of difference between Chidusho as opposed to Shas Chidusho. In other words, maybe one could argue as follows. Perhaps everyone agrees that Ein L'Chabo Ela Chidusho. When you have something which is a Chiddush, which is Dabra Soser Saklau, everyone agrees that cannot serve as a binyan av, a memasinu, for Dvarim Acherim. Ein L'Chabo Ela Chidusho. If something is a Chiddush, it was Soser Saklau, how can that serve as a model for anything else? Abaye agrees to that. And that is, you cannot take a principle of Hazama and apply it to a different area. And the Chiddush is that Shtar is called an inin acher. Shtar is not called edus like edus bal peh, just a different form of edus, a hefter shel shtar, which is b'fnei atzma. In such a case, everyone agrees ein lechabo ela chidusho. The chiddush of Rava is the following. Rava takes this step further. Not only can you not apply a binyan av or a mem atzino and argue what is true here is true there, but even here, even minei ubei, even in context, ein lechavo ela shas chidusho. You can't even pull back within the very framework where the halacha is formulated. That pashur shas is what Abai could disagree with. I agree that hazam is a chiddush, and therefore you cannot take hazam and edus al peh and apply it anywhere else. But in the case where the Torah does apply it, edus bal peh, it makes no sense to assume ikana lahavon. If so, there of course you can pull back to the shas hagadah. That is only neubei. That is within the context, within the framework where the halacha of hazam is formulated. That perhaps is why Rava stresses ein lechabo ela shas chidusho. Shas chidusho means the chidush al gabi chidush. Not only can you not apply b'din av minatzino, but even in context, it is only mikan lahavat not lamafreya. Like we said, suffek tuma. In the very same case, minei obey, your paskin is posel mikan lahavat. It's tahor lamafreya. That's very unusual. Minei obey. That sounds like a tarta disaster. So as we explained, nihug is not rattled by a tarta disaster. It's not birur. But to say that you can't apply it to another case, l'chora, according to the Balamor Shita, that is something which is certainly possible. Now, within the Shita of the Balamor, that Hazama is limited to Alpeh, doesn't apply to Shtar. The language of the Balamor we mentioned is Ein Hazama la'olam l'shalei mamam ela be'edus alpeh. Those two words that the Balamor adds, Ein Hazama la'olam l'shalei mamam. What does l'shalei mamam mean? Why not just simply say Ein Hazama la'olam ela be'edus alpeh? Why does the Balamor write l'shalei mamam? So if you look in the Bach and in the Bach is found in Simen Lamed Aleph, and the Shach is found in Simen Lamed Ches and Sivkot and Beis, they assume a very great chiddush. That this bombshell of the Balamor is not the chiddush that we thought it was. It's a chiddush, but a tempered chiddush. That this is only true le'inyan tashlumei mamam, but vaday nifsalim. When you're dealing with Hazam, there are two halachos. Number one is the psul, that you believe the Edom HaAchronim, the Edom HaRishonim are Edom Psulim. Number two, there is an onesh, there's a tashlumin, there's a chiyuv of kasha zamam. Their diuk in the Balamor, Ein Hazamon l'shalei mamam, is that perhaps even the Balamor would agree that the psul is the mafreya. All they're arguing here is that the tashlume mamam, the kasha zamam, does not apply. The Shach goes a step further and writes that this is true. You don't have to assume that there's a machlokas between the Balamor and the Rif and our sugya. After all, the Rif was not addressing the tashlumin. The Rif was discussing l'mafreyahu nifsal. How do you translate l'mafreyahu nifsal when it comes to shtar? So that the Rif writes in principle, Lama Freyhun Ifsaf in the time of the Chasima. You just have to work out the detail that proving that the timeline is correct. Well, if the Balamor was addressing something else, right? Kasha Zamam, and the Rif was addressing the Psul, so maybe one could argue that they're not necessarily disagreeing. What's somewhat difficult with that diuk is the following, because if you look in the Balamor did not just simply say this in an ethereal sense, but there's no the Balamor had a clear nafka mina. Balamor stated the following chiddush. When I say that there's no hazama, it is b'shtar, So what exactly does that mean? Well, it's certainly a chiddush in terms of kasha zama, and perhaps it's even a chiddush in terms of psuliedus. But the Balamor writes that there's another nafkamina, right? And that's the following: that we have a process of kiyum hashtar, that Eidim will come forward and verify, as we mentioned in the very beginning of the shiurim, that this is a shtar which is kosher. And the Dayanim, right, will render a psak halacha, kiyum shtaros, as to whether this is a validated shtar or whether it is not. The Balamor writes the following chiddush: that the Dayanim, who participate in this process of kiyum shtaros, and the Eidim, who participate in kiyum shtaros, they can be krovim to the Eidei Hashtar. That's the chiddush the Balamor writes. In other words, the person can go before Beis Din and say, Zek Sav Yado Shel Avi. Zek Sav Yado Shel Avi. I don't know what happened exactly. I can't testify that my father owed money, my brother owed money. I'm not testifying my father or brother owed money. I'm just testifying that this signature that says that that's true, I can verify that that is my father's signature. Balamor says, that's fine. Why is that fine? Doesn't it turn out that the din is yotzei as a result of eidim krovim? That the din will play out because of the testimony of krovim? Because, look, the shtar is only as good as the chasimos, and that is being verified by the krovim of the eidei hashtar. So the Balamor refers to the Yerushalmi that says the following: what's generally wrong with that? What's wrong if you have krovim zelazen in such an instance? I understand that you can't have, right, a karov come forward and say, you are guilty, you are innocent. That's a psul purva. I can't serve as an aid to say that my brother is chayiv, my brother is pater. That's krovim. That's not what is happening here. All I am doing, right, is affirming that that's true. What is the Dayan saying? He's not issuing a psak halacha. His relative is chayiv, his relative is pater. The Dayan is simply saying, right, that I accept this edus of my relatives. This is a kosher shtar. What's wrong with this? The Balamor refers you to the Yerushalmi. What's wrong with that? Generally speaking, that type of issue is one of edus shi'at ha'yachal ha'zima. After all, you're the dayan, and your relative, right, is signing, and all of a sudden people come forward and say, "Imanu ha'yisim." Yeah, but you have kind of a vested interest in that way. It will turn out that your kiyum is going to impact on their guilt and their innocence. It's not really true that you're not testifying regarding guilt and innocence, because they're just affirming a shtar, and the shtar says Reuven is obligated. No one's related to Reuven. You're related to the Eidim, yes, but through their Haggadah, they also potentially are the Balei Dvarim. Because someone can come forward and say, Mano Yisim, and they will be Chayim. And therefore, your testifying to their Eidos really is your testifying whether in principle they could be Chayim or they would not be Chayim. So that's a form of Eidos, Shiat HaYachal HaZima. So the Balamor writes the following Chiddush: well, if Hazama does not apply to Eidos Bishtar, because after all, in the Chabalah Chidusho, so in such a case, if Bishtar lo shayach behazama, so then there would be nothing wrong with the Dayane Hakim or the Eide Hakim be krovim of the Eidim Hameidin al Ashtar. That's the Chiddush, the Balamor writes. With that Chiddush, perhaps it would appear the following, maybe not as the Shachasun. Because if the entire Chiddush of the Balamor is only a detail within Kasha Zama, but everyone would agree that Al Yedei HaZama, the Eidim, become puzzled, well, then in such a case, maybe one could argue that that still should be a problem of Krovim Eidim Zalzeh, because it is my involvement, right, that would allow for that to occur. If the Baal HaMor means a great, great chiddush, categorically, that there's no possibility of hazama whatsoever in the Kabbalah Chidusha. But if all the Baal HaMor means is no chiyuv tashlumin, but in principle the edim are posel, in such a case then what the Baal HaMor writes is a much greater chiddush to assume that therefore we would allow a krovim to participate in this issue. Even a further ha'arah, if you look in the Stipler in Sanhedrin, in Simen Chaf, the Stipler is troubled by the following. This distinction between the psul of hazama and kasha zama. The Ran writes that the svar of the Baal HaMor is hazama zechidish and ein lachabal elachidusham. And therefore, that only applies to Eidos Alpeh, doesn't apply to Eidos Bishtar. What is the Chiddush of Hazama? When our Gemara says, Ein Lachbel Chiddusho, Chiddushu, what exactly is the Chiddush? What the Chiddush is the Tashlumim of Kasha Zama? That's not what our Gemara says. Our Gemara says the Chiddush is that we believe the Eidim Hamazimim and the Eidim HaNizomim are rendered Eidi Posel. After all, the Gemara says, and why would you say it's not a Chiddush? The Gemara says, Mida HaVagazalusa. We always allow later Eidim to say the first Eidim are Posel. So obviously the Chiddush is not in the realm of Tashlumin. The Chiddush the Gemara is dealing with is, forget about the Kasha Zama. Right? The first stage, who do you believe? Who do you label as Eidi Sheker? That is considered to be the Chiddush. That's the Chiddush. And now the Ran says, according to the Baal HaMor, since this is a Chiddush, therefore, Ein Lachabal Chiddush, and therefore it only applies to the Bishtar, doesn't apply to Baal Peh, not the Eidush Bishtar. So what does the Shach mean to say then? After all, if in fact, even in Eidush Bishtar, we would say that the Eidim HaAchronim, the Eidim HaMazimim, are Ne'emanim, and that's true in Bishtar, so why should there be a Chiyuv Tashlumin? If you'll tell me that here you don't accept the principle that we believe the second or the first, so of course there's no Chiyuv Kasha Zama. But if you will argue that, what do you mean? That the Baal HaMor was addressing the Chiyuv Tashlumin, but even the Baal HaMor agrees that the first Eidim, right, are Poslim, the second Eidim are Kosher. Yes, so why then should Shtar be any different? In other words, the cause and the effect, the Tashlumin is a detail. Right? The essential issue, the cause, is that we dismiss the first Eidim and believe the second Eidim, as our Gemara says. And if that's going to be true, even in the case of Shtar, so what do you mean it's a Chiddush if it doesn't apply in any other case? And once you assume that in Shtar, the structure is the same, you believe the second Eidim and the first you dismiss, so why shouldn't there be an Echiyuv in that fashion? That's the issue that the Stipler discusses. So you can take a look, the Stipler points out just the following Chiddush. But maybe one can explain that this, if there is a case of Hazama in the Eidush of Ishtar, when it comes to Shtaros, perhaps there is a marked difference between that element of Hazama as opposed to its other cases. See, when it comes to the case of Shtaros, as we began, the uniqueness of Shtar, as opposed to Eidos generally, is Das HaMisayim. Das HaMisayim. What exactly does that mean? So in such a case, right, a person affirms in the presence of Eidim that he takes upon himself too. Vimachayiv himself, whether it's Alva, whether it's a case of Gittin, whether it's a case of Kedushin, that representation, bifnei edim, is what generates, what creates right? The shtar. As Tosfos pointed out, it's not called a shtar, unless it was osimidas hamisayiv. Otherwise, Tosfos says, right, lo chashiv shtar. It's not just edus bichsav that we were hiding down the street and we saw, right, that a malva gave money to the lova. It's more than that, right? The lova was aware of our presence, right, and the matamos was under the assumption that a shtar would be rendered, and therefore to be a min shibudim, you're not neman to go into have a tine of kofar hakol. And therefore, the possible chiddush, right, that when it comes to that particular case, that if in fact there is, right, an instance of hazama, and in fact you were not there because imanu ha'yisem, so therefore there was no, right, representation made in the presence of Edim, there was no das mischayiv whatsoever, and then certainly the shtar is considered to be that which is possible. That's the chiddush that the Sifra discusses. Aside from the fact that there's a problem of eidus shekhem, it's much more than that. And that is that the shtar is possible because after all, right, there is no das hamischayiv. And that is perhaps why the mazimim are believed to render the shtar as being possible in that particular case. So maybe if you can take a look, right, at that piece in the Stifler and Simchat, we'll pick up, we'll elaborate on that point, and take a look at the Nesivus in Simen Lamedalit Sifkat and Vav. That's where the Nesivus ties this issue into how we began. The Machlok is the Rambam and the Ramban. Right, when do you assume shteros are daraisa? When do you assume the shteros are only considered to be that which is midibrei sofrim? And the Sivas suggests, right, the following chiddush, that the only time you can discuss the possibility of hazama is when there is a form of haggadah bebezdin. And that is not true when it comes to certain shteros, and therefore maybe that's why it should be excluded from the case of hazama. The Nesivus refers you to a case in the Gemara in Gittin of Amar va'Amru. Right, so that's a sug you take a look at it, of Samad Vav Mabez. It's not mentioned in the Nesivus where it is. Gittin of Samad Vav Mabez. But take a look if you can at Nesivus Lamadal and Vav. Take a look at the Stipler, right, Sanhedrin, Simon Chav. Right, and we'll pick up, I don't know.